in more ways than one. One of the sons of the favorite woman, the favorite son, but he didn't come through Joseph. This seed's not coming through Joseph. It's not coming through the firstborn. And he begins to prophetically tell the future of Reuben and all of those 12 tribes, and finally he gets down to Judah, the fourth son. And he says, "Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." He says, Judah's a lion's whelp right now. He's a little baby lion. Says he's a lion's whelp. But he says later over there that as an old lion, who's going to stir him up as an old lion? He's a lion's whelp right now. And watch this, and listen carefully. Here's what I've been leading up to. He says the scepter, S-C-E-P-T-R-E, that's a rod held in a king's hand. The scepter, kingship and authority, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, that is, until Christ comes. And unto him, unto Shiloh, or Christ, shall the gathering of the people be. That old man said prophetically, and what scholars think was about 1,690 years before the birth of Christ, that the kingship or leadership of all of those children would not depart from Judah. Judah. Judah will be the daddy of the kings, but I've got a problem for you. Listen carefully, I've got a problem for you. He said that as he's dying on his deathbed in Genesis 49:33, that scepter, kingship, and authority be in the hand of Judah. Yet there was no king over Israel of the tribe of Judah for over 630 years. That old patriarch died. And I can prove that it was at least 630 years and maybe 650 years before a king ever ruled over that people of the tribe of Judah. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. There's a reason there's 630 or 640 years before there's ever a king picked out of the tribe of Judah. There's a reason that when the children of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 8 began to holler for a king, we want a king to be like the other nations. God didn't give them a king out of the house of Judah. He gave them a king out of Benjamin. There's a reason they didn't get a king until David's time. Now then, another Bible problem I want to give you. See, that's a Bible problem. He made that promise right there, prophetic promise. There's nothing done about it for about 630, 640 years. Another Bible problem. Since the kings are coming out of Judah, why did the first one that was given come out of Benjamin instead of Judah? Hang on, we'll get to it in a minute. Bible problem number three. See, there's no such thing as Bible contradictions. I deal with Bible problems. Bible problem number three. You get over in Genesis chapter 37 and you start reading about Joseph. Chapter 37 is all about Joseph, how his brethren sold him into bondage. Chapter 38 is all, chapter 39, 37 is all about Joseph. You're introduced to Joseph, all about Joseph. Chapter 39 is all about Joseph. Chapter 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47 is all about Joseph. But right in the middle of that, Genesis chapter 38, there's something thrown in there that infidels, Bible critics, and Bible scholars say is all out of place. He starts telling you about Joseph. And right in there in Genesis chapter 38, the Holy Spirit just seems to jump the track, and he starts telling you about a gross, terrible sin that Judah committed. People say that's all out of place. Why is he over here giving us all this beautiful story of Joseph, and then right in the middle of it, take up a whole chapter with the sin of Judah? Now you listen to me right carefully, you're going to get lost. Listen right carefully. Now watch this. this Redeemer's got to come through Judah. When Christ is born, he's got to come through Judah. Hear me? Now watch this. Judah over here had three sons. Let's notice what happens to him. Judah had three sons. That first son, Ur, was wicked, says the Lord slew him. Down he went. Now then, he takes that one's wife. See, it was a disgrace back in the times of the Bible for a man's name to die out. And God had given them a law way back down. Somebody says there's no law before Sinai. You better start reading your Bible. Go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 8. Genesis chapter 26, verse 5. Now, Abraham lived about 500 years before any law was given from Sinai. And God told Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, he says, your father Abraham obeyed my laws. He obeyed my commandments. He obeyed my statutes. And he walked in my charge. God gave laws, commandments, statutes, and a charge to Abraham 500 years before Sinai. Now, when a man starts telling me there's no law before Sinai, you better go home this afternoon, turn off the television set, Quit counting your money and start reading that book before you make statements like that. Somebody says the law was given by Moses. That particular law was. But God's people had laws, commandments, a charge, and statutes before Sinai. I'm going to tell you, a lot of those laws from Sinai was just given to confirm what they were already doing. I can prove to you the children of Israel had a priesthood before the Mosaic priesthood was ever given. Go to that Bible, read it right carefully. Exodus chapter 19. They go to the foot of that mountain. Moses is going up to receive the laws of the Mosaic priesthood. And it says, let the priest of the people assemble themselves. The priesthood of the firstborn. Now then, God's people need to turn off their television sets, ditch their funny papers, quit sitting around gossiping about what went on at the old Cross-Eyed Turkey Association last year, and read that book. Now then, listen. Okay, there was a practice among God's people. It was a disgrace for a man to die and not leave behind any seed or an heir. Now then, God gave those people a law that if a man died childless, that his widow was to be given to his brother. And that child that she had was to carry on the name of the dead brother. That's what you see over here in the book of Ruth. That's one of the great lessons in the book of Ruth. Now, the Jews were still doing that in the times of Christ. When the Lord was here, remember in Matthew chapter 22, verse 24, those people came to him to trap him and says, there were seven brothers. Said one of them had a wife and died, leaving behind no seed, no issue. The second one had her as a wife, and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh. Said, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Now, they were still doing that in the times of Christ. Now, what I want you to see, we come over here. Now, hang on. This Redeemer, when he comes, has got to be born of the tribe of Judah. He's got to be a descendant of Judah, but we've got a problem. Judah's got three boys. Okay, this first one's wicked. Says the Lord slew him. Down he goes. Childless. His widow is given to the second one. Onan, he dies. No seed, no child. No child. Now look here, the house of Judah is about to be wiped out. And if the house of Judah is wiped out, God's made a liar. Because it says the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet till Shiloh come. He's got to come from Judah, but two of his sons have gone down already. No seed. Now then, his daughter-in-law, Tamar was married to son number one. He's wicked, says the Lord slew him. Second over here dies, no seed. Here's Tamar. Tamar goes to her daddy-in-law, Judah, and begs for him to fulfill God's law, which is to give this youngest son, Shelah, to her. Judah refuses and breaks God's law. He won't give the third son to her. Now watch this. If this third son dies childless, then God's made a liar. Judah violates God's law and will not give this third son to her for a wife. For a husband. Now watch what this woman does. Now you see, a Jewish woman is a disgrace for a Jewish woman to die childless. And back in those days, every Jewish woman had a hope that she'd be the one that would bear the Messiah. Every little Jewish girl back in those days had a dream that she might be the one that'd be chosen to bear the Messiah. They didn't have the understanding, they didn't have the New Testament. They're not looking back on it. And the old saying is, hindsight's better than foresight. But they had a dream that they might bear the Messiah. It's a great curse for a Jewish girl to go out in public and be childless or barren. Okay, this little woman, Tamar, first husband is dead. Second husband dies. Here's the last chance for a seed to come out of Judah. Judah refuses to give Shelah to this woman Tamar. Now then, she contrives a scheme. She puts on the garb of a harlot and goes out, and Judah thinks she's a harlot. And I hate to preach things like this, but they're Bible, and your kids are discussing worse in the second grade of school. And if you don't like for a man to preach this way in the pulpit, kick that television out of your house. Amen. All right? We come down. Watch this. She disguises herself as a harlot and deceives her own father-in-law, Judah. She conceives a child by her own father-in-law who thinks she's a harlot. And I'm not going to get into all the rest of the story, but someone comes and says, your daughter-in-law has played the harlot. Judah, meanwhile, she takes this signet off of the man, you know, that thinks she's a harlot. He thinks she's a harlot. He winds up, she winds up with his signet, you know, kind of a medal or so. Okay. Then later on, when he finds out his daughter-in-law is with child, someone says she's played the harlot. He says, let's burn her in the fire. She comes to him, flashes this signet. The father of this child's the man that owns this signet is him. You know what Judah said? Judah said that she hath been more righteous than I. He knew he had violated God's law. If he would have given her to that third son, Shelah, he violated God's law, said she'd been more righteous than I. He knew he had gone into her because he thought she was a harlot. Now what I want you to see this afternoon, hang on right quickly, I'll give you another Bible problem. We come over in the book of Ruth, and I wish I had about 4 or 5 hours to preach on the book of Ruth, but we come over here in the book of Ruth, and I'm going to hit this right fast. We've got here one of the most beautiful love stories in the Bible. It's also one of the richest lessons found anywhere in the Bible. It's a lesson of redemption. It's a lesson of how a widow is redeemed from her poverty, how her inheritance was redeemed, and how she's also redeemed from her widowhood. And I want you, brethren, to take this home this afternoon about redemption. There's not a place in the Bible where redemption was ever done in a secret place in a corner. Redemption's always a public transaction. Boaz, a type of Christ, goes down there to redeem Ruth, and he goes to the gate of the city, and he advertises it before all the people. Goes down there before the 10 elders, advertises it before all the people, and he says, ye are witnesses. Watch this. They said, we are witnesses, because redemption was a public thing. Now then, if you wanted to redeem land, you did it in public. If you wanted to redeem a widow, you did it in public. If you wanted to redeem an inheritance, you did it in public. If you wanted to redeem a relationship, you did it in public. Now hang on right quickly. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to study the Passover lamb. This Passover lamb and the shedding of the blood of that lamb was a type of the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5 tells us that redemption is through the blood of the Lamb. They sing to the Lamb, for thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says, we're redeemed not with, you know, corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Go to Exodus chapter 12. That Passover lamb, the lamb of redemption, was picked out on the 10th day. It wasn't put to death till the evening of the 14th day. But when that blood of that lamb was shed, it was put to death in the presence of all the congregation of the people in the evening. That lamb wasn't put to, it didn't shed its blood over here in a dark garden or a corner or over here in a private place. Redemption is a public thing, man. It's a public thing. Public thing. It says, the congregation of the people shall put it to death in the evening. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died to redeem his people, it was a public thing. Go to John chapter 12, verse 31. And he says there, and now is the judgment. Watch this. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He spake this signifying what death he should die. Look what you've got in that context. You've got judgment of this world. You have got death and lifting up. Someone says, oh, that's his lifting up in the resurrection. No, sir. Someone says, that's us lifting him up in the gospel. No, it isn't. That Bible defines what lifting up is. Go to John chapter 8, verse 28. The Lord told wicked Jews and Pharisees, he says, and when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. He didn't say when God the Father lifts me up in the resurrection. He didn't say when preachers lift me up in the gospel. He didn't say when the Father lifts me up, when the preachers lift me up. He told those wicked Jews, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man.